Okay, this week's parasha we know is parasha Terumah, and we are now introduced in the parasha to the world of the Mishkan, which is going to carry us in the parashios of Terumah, Tetzaveh, Kitisa, Vayakeh, Pekudeh. The last five parashios of Sefer Shmos are going to be focused primarily on the Mishkan. The truth of the matter is there's a lot of hidden ideas and messages in the Mishkan, all the Klei HaMishkan. Some of them are more well-known, some are less well-known. I'd like to share with you today, though, an insight about really the essence of the Mishkan, which really relates, I think, to each and every one of us in our lives, as we'll see. It's as follows. We know that each one of the Klei HaMishkan has a different thing which it represents. For example, the Shulchan, the table where the Karbanos and the Lechem HaPanim were offered, represents, as we know, the idea of what? Who knows? What's the Shulchan representative of? Who knows? Not all at once. Okay, so the Shulchan is what's called, we assume it's the idea of Malchus, of royalty. Royal spreads, if you will. The Mizbeach represents something else, represents Kehuna, represents the Kohanim who are working on the Mizbeach most of the time. There's two Kalim, actually, which is fascinating. Two Kalim in the Mishkan, which represent Torah. And they are which ones? Who knows? Which two Kalim of the Mishkan represent Torah? Okay, not all at once. One is the menorah, excellent. The menorah represents Torah. And the second one is? The Aron, excellent. Which is very, very fascinating. Because why do we have two Kalim? Why do we need two things representing the Torah? Kuna has its representation, Malchus has its representation. Why is it that the Torah has two representations? Good question. Rav Yoshev Zatzal, great Gadol HaDor, who was nifter a few years ago, 5 years ago. I was supposed to take my son to Rav Yoshev many times. The first time my son, my oldest son Eli, and I made a siyum, I took him to Rav Yoshev for a bracha. We davened with Rav Yoshev in the morning in his shul. Hashem, I remember actually when I was a boy in yeshiva your age, Shana Aleph, I was in Keren B'Yavne. My father came to visit me in January for the year, and he took me on a Friday afternoon to Rav Yashiv. I'll never forget this. This is not part of the Shmuz, but it is. I'll never forget this. My father took me Friday afternoon, we were dressed in Shabbos clothes already. And Rav Yashiv was sitting in the same base medrash they always sat in. And for like an hour before Shabbos, he opened the doors, people would come in brachos, ask questions. I remember us waiting outside. I'll never forget this. You could peek through the window and watch Rav Yashiv learn by the window. And it was unbelievable. He was sitting there with the Gemara Bechoros. Bechoros is one of the hardest Gemaras. It's in Kutchin. And he's just moving with his fingers down the pages. Everyone's peeking in, blocking his light. He doesn't care. He's just pounding away at the words of the Talmud. It was such an impression it made in my life. It was like just amazing. It was so powerful. He's in his zone. There's no world. There's just Gemara Bechoros, the lines that he's scrolling down this way. That's all that exists in the world. Fine. The Yashiv Zatzal explained the following beautiful pshat. There's two components, he said, to Torah, but not just the Torah, but to the Torah personality. There's the inner world of the Torah personality and the outer world. The Aron represents the inner world. Where's the Aron found? Inside the Kodesh HaKadosh, in the deepest, most further place inside. What's in the Aron? The Luchos. Hidden in the Aron is the Torah, which is hidden deep away, packed away in the Kodesh HaKadosh. That's one aspect of the Chacham, his life, the internal world of the Chacham. The light, the internal light of the Chacham, that's one idea. Also the menorah. Where's the menorah? The menorah is not inside, the menorah is outside. And what does the menorah do? The light of the outside spreads forth. Like we say in Chanukah, Ve'eliku neros b'chatzos kadshecha. That's the external light which the Torah represents. And says in Oyash, that's also beautifully, there's two parts that the Chacham has to have. He has to have an inner world, an inner light, the Aron of the Torah, and he also has to have the menorah, the light which he spreads forth onto people around the entire world. Very nice idea. Which out of these two kalim is more important, the Aron or the menorah? Tell me which one. The Aron is more important. The Ramban says, on this week's parasha, the Mishkan is called Mishkan Ha'idus. What's Mishkan Ha'idus? the Mishkan of the Eidus. What's the Eidus? Says the Ramban, it refers to the Aron, that inside of it has the Luchos, which are Eidus, which are testimony of Hashem's relationship with Bnei Yisrael. In other words, the whole Mishkan is called the Mishkan because of the Aron, which would seem to imply that the more important of these two Kalim is the Aron, and not the Menorah. Menorah is very important also. In this context, that means as follows. What's more important for each and every one of us to work on ourselves is what's going on inside of ourselves, in our inner world. As we strive to become Talmidei Chachamim, as a person strives to become a person who is a Torah personality, so there's two things you can work on. You can work on your inner self, or the way you present yourself to the outside world. From the fact that the Mishkan is called the Mishkan Ha'edus, and the Aron is the essence of the Mishkan, it seems to me that this shows us that the essence of what a person should be working on is his internal world, but it goes deeper, I'm going to say. Let's move to the Aron. How many Arons, I'll give you a hint, how many Arons were there in the Aron?
Three.
Three is correct, very good. Wow. Who says? Rashi says. Rashi says there was three Aronos. What were they made out of? Here's how it went. If you saw this Rashi already because you did Steinbrick in the first parak, great. If you didn't do it yet, so you'll do it. Hopefully soon. Because they have a lot of long rashes, especially the Choshen and the Eifo, forget it. It just keeps going and going and going. Good. You ready? How'd it go? Gold on the inside. Gold was put into wood. The wooden box held the golden one. The wooden box with the gold was then placed into another gold. So what do you have? You have gold, wood, gold. The Torah says, describing the Aron, Mibayis Umichut Titzapenu, which means it's covered with gold on the inside and on the outside. Again, within the Aron itself, you have two aspects. You have the bias, you have the inside, and you have the chutz. What's more important again? The bias. The inside is more important. Then the chutz is also important. What you give off to the world is very important too. But what you're supposed to work on, what the Torah says is more essential, is the bias. First comes the bias. First you make sure the inside is covered, and then you can work on the outside. I suppose that, please listen very carefully to this idea. If you look in the Mishkan, in the Kleya Mishkan, wow, we got to move. There were three Kalim that have crowns on them. A Zer. What has a crown? Who remembers what has a crown? The Shulchan has a crown. The Mizbeach has a crown. And the Aron has a crown. Isn't that interesting? You know why? Because there's three crowns in our religion. There's the crown of Kehuna, which is the crown of the Mizbeach. There's the crown of Malchus, of royalty, which is the crown of Shulchan. And there's the crown of Torah. Which crown is the most important crown? And the answer is the crown of the Torah. Who says? The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, the crown of the Torah is above the other crowns. And there's a hint to it in the Pasuk. A beautiful hint in the Pasuk. When it comes to the Mizbeach and the Shulchan, it says, V'yasisa lo, make for it a crown. And when it comes to the Aron, it says, V'yasisa, Allah. What's Allah mean? On it. On it. Not for it, not low, not to it, but Allah, make a crown on it. The crown of Kehuna, Rabosai, the crown of Kehuna is very important. The crown of Malchus is very important. The crown of Torah is a very, very important crown. What's so unique about it, Chavra? If your father's any Kohanim in this room? Oh, two Kohanim. Why are you both Kohanim? Why are you Kohanim? Because your father was a Kohen. Excellent. You know why your father was a Kohen? Because your grandfather was a Kohen. It's nothing to do with you. You're a nice guy. But your Kohen has nothing to do with you. Just born as a Kohen. A king. What tribe must you come from in our religion to become a king? Yehuda. Yehuda. If you're not from Sheva Yehuda, you can't be a king. Sorry, you can be the best guy in the world, but you can't be a king. You're born into it or you're not born into it. Abosai, who can receive the crown of Torah? Who can receive the crown of Torah?
Everyone.
Says the Rambam so beautifully. Keser Torah, this is the beginning of the third parak of Hilchos Talmud Torah. Keser Torah, arimunach v'omein u'muchem hakol. It's sitting and waiting for everybody. You know who can access the crown of Torah? Everybody. Doesn't matter if your father was a Talmud Chacham. It doesn't give you any Milo, somebody else. It may be easier for you because you were more maybe ingrained in your cereal. You ate Torah in your cereal. If your father was a Talmud Chacham. But if not, so what? Abosai, it's open to anybody. Not, you can look at the pictures on the wall over there for a second. Not all their fathers were massive Talmid Chacham. Some of them were. Some weren't. Of the Gedolim that we have nowadays, Nathan Zifinkel, throw out from the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva. He went to Ida Crown. Represented well in this room right now, Ida Crown, Jewish Academy, ICJA, in Chicago, in Skokie. Skokie? Yeah, it's in Skokie. Not to be confused with Skokie. I was just there. Yeah. Very geschmack. His father was a very special person. He wasn't a Gadol Hador. I don't think he was even a rabbi, his father. And he went on to become the biggest Rosh Yeshiva of the biggest yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because Keset Torah is for everybody. How do you get a Keset Torah? How do you get this credit Torah? Rambam tells you a little later in this parak the following amazing thing. This is going to sound challenging to some of us, but it's okay. We set the bar a little higher and we try. I'm giving musa to myself now. Don't think I'm giving musa to you right now, I'm giving musa to myself. You can listen to me. Says the Rambam, if you want to merit the Keser Torah, you have to listen to this. Says Rambam, even though there's a mitzvah to learn day and night, the majority of one's chachma is achieved at night time, says the Rambam. And therefore, I'm just translating every word for word. A person that wants to achieve the Keser Torah, the crown of Torah, should be careful every single night. Don't waste any night with too much sleeping, too much eating, too much fressing, drinking, schmoozing. Make your nights count. Why? Why night? Why not day? It's true also. Why night? What's so special about the nights? There are a lot of thoughts on this topic, but I'll tell you one thought. It's downtime. Most people during the day are doing it anyway, hopefully. At nighttime, you're tired. At nighttime, no one sees you. All the honor that you get for learning during the day, no one knows if you learn at night or not. Except you know what you're doing when you learn at night, everybody says, listen carefully, please. You're building your inside. You're building your mibayis. You're building yourself internally. And what matters for the crown of Torah is not so much the external, not what people say about you, that's not what matters. What matters is what's going on inside of yourself. And at night when no one sees you, at night when people go to sleep and turn off the lights and you sit in your quiet corner and learn. I'm not even talking about learning all night. I'm not talking about not having a normal schedule. I'm talking about just taking your night seriously. Football came, football went. Now what? Is basketball now? Other sports now? Baseball. Pre-games, pre-season of baseball? Pre-season of baseball? Give me a break. Give me a break. Abosai, I talk to myself also. I'll tell you a secret. I gotta stop a minute. I'll tell you a secret. When you get older, life becomes much more complicated. When you get to be my age, and Baruch Hashem, you have a family, and you have a wife, and you have responsibilities, community, and you have things going, you have job, and you have things going on. I can't even tell you. I don't. This is being recorded. Life is very complicated. The most golden years you have in your life right now are the years where you have no responsibilities and nothing else to do right now. I'm not saying there's no distractions. You have plenty of distractions. But you have nothing else to do. There's no responsibility on you. You don't have to bring a paycheck home to feed your children. You don't have to work extra hours to try to get into medical school now. There's no medical school here. No one's going to medical school. There's no competition of who's going to be the best in size sim so you can get the best job at PwC if your father is a partner or he's not. Doesn't make a difference. Shout out or not, doesn't make a difference. The point is, chevra, none of that exists over here. You know what you have? You have Bavakama. You have Megillah. You have Tainis. You have Shnai Mikra. You have so many opportunities to apply yourself to Talmud Torah. I close with this following last pasuk. The pasuk says, Chachmas Adam Ta'ir Panav. I think it's in Mishlei, which means the wisdom of a person illuminates his face. We began by saying there's two kelim. There's the Aron and there's the menorah. The Aron is inside and the menorah shines out outwards. Even the Aron itself, there's two parts to it. There's the inside and the outside. How does it work? Here's how it works. You fill yourself up with Torah, with Chachma, Chachmas Adam. And then you know what happens? you begin to shine to the outside world. How come you see beautiful, beautiful people that are so filled with Talmud Torah, and their smile is, I mentioned Rasmussen before. Who ever saw Rasmussen in their lifetime? You always saw him smiling. For the last 20 years of his life, he had terrible Parkinson's. He couldn't stand. He couldn't walk normally. If you saw him walking, you'd think he was like a shaking something. But yet he was always smiling. Besides the reason why he always smiled, because he didn't want to make children scared when he saw them, which is an amazing Muslim in and of itself. You know why he smiled? Because Chachmas Adam, Tayir Panav. Because when a person is filled on the inside, with Chachma, that exudes light outwards. It's two sides of the same coin. It's the Aron and the Menorah. It's the Aron, which is the inside, and the Menorah, which is the outside. It's the Bayis and the Chutz. It's the inside of the Aron and the outside. It's filling ourselves up with Torah and trying to achieve the crown of Torah, which ultimately shines forth the light to the outside world. We should be Zocher Rabosai to take advantage of these golden years. These are years that are golden. Trust me, one day you're going to say, ah! Once I sat in the Shmuz, Rabbi Schneider Shlita was away, and we spoke about the golden years and the Torah that a person can ingest and how that can affect and permeate his being and affect how he relates to himself and to the outside world. We should all be zocheh to achieve and to acquire the crown of Torah. Amen.